that you need with Curry and the Keeper.
Curry and the Keeper for January 11th, 2022. This is episode 4. Hello, my queen.
Hello, my love. Here we are again.
Yow, a day early, no less.
Yeah, we got the decanter filled. Cheers me.
Yes, I want you to notice, of course, it cheers. I have not had a drop of wine today. Ooh. Even during dinner, I saved myself for this moment.
Nice, I appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay. Whoa. What is this? What is this?
This is actually the wine we're drinking tonight is a gift from Charlie and Christina Henry.
Uh huh.
And she had reached out to me, sent me an email, and she sent us a letter and a bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the bottle say? Is it 2016?
Yeah, 2016. Gigondas.
Gigondas.
G-I-G-O-N-D-A-S.
It's a John C. Dvorak recommendation. And oh. I'll read her letter, but okay. She sent the bottle of wine, and she also sent this adorable, I should say they, not she, but I think she took care of the mailing, beautiful little wooden charcuterie board. So yeah. She had listened to our podcast about when I was talking about the Becker,
yeah, sure.
Becker Vineyards, mm-hmm. and their charcuterie board was just not on point. So let me read her letter very quickly. Adam and Tina, we have both enjoyed Curry and the Keeper as it has added a nice lighter note to our winter season. Sorry, I haven't learned how to donate yet. And even my crypto learned husband hasn't been able to help me much. Here is a nice bottle of Gigondas, JCD recommended for your Wino Wednesday.
Wino Wednesday. Okay.
Well, it's Tuesday. It's Tipsy Tuesday.
Woo-hoo, everybody. Yeah, yeah.
Adam, kudos to you for finding a Hoosier Keeper. Mm. Tina, here is an anti-COVID cheese board you can bring with you to wine tasting in case they only have a metal tray.
The COVID metal tray from the fridge.
Then yeah. She goes on to say, we have recently moved from North Central Indiana, Mishawaka. I used to go antiquing in Mishawaka all the time.
Wait a minute. Stop. Antiquing?
Yes.
What would you go to? And you've never discussed your antiquing hobby with me.
This is way, way. I didn't go often, but I went a few times with some of my Indiana friends.
And would you be looking for like a chest of drawers?
Yeah. Whatever. Random things, I guess, so long ago. So anyway, she said she moved from Central Indiana to Southern Indiana. In the event our overlords implement a vax passport for domestic travel and you want to take a road trip, feel free to stop by any old time. Okay. We live in the country, so there isn't much to do except sit around drinking wine and bourbon. We like that.
Yeah.
But a good time will be had by all. Maybe we can teach Adam how to play ecru? And E-U-C-H-R-E. I don't even know what that is. Love the new podcast, Love and Light, Charlie and
Eucra.
Christina.
Eucra.
Oh, Eucra. I never heard of that.
I think I've heard of it. I have no idea what it is.
Anyway, thank you so much for the wine. That was so kind.
Let's cheers me again, babe.
Cheers.
All right, cheers. Now, let's just enjoy it for a moment.
Well, look at the color. It's nice and deep red. Okay.
The studio is completely purple blue, and I'm colorblind, so I don't know. Ow! I don't know what I'm looking. Did I break that glass? No.
It's dark in here too. Adam likes his mood lighting in the studio, and so I can barely see, but it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Hope everybody else has their wine ready for tonight because this is enjoyable.
Yeah, it's very good.
Smooth.
Very, very good.
Smooth. Yeah, nice.
Smooth.
So I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sick of hearing me.
Oh, I know. Adam has been making the rounds.
I'm so sick of hearing my voice.
Joe Rogan on Friday and then Megan Kelly today.
Yes, Megan.
Yes, yeah. You had a lot to say.
Yeah. I'm tired. I just listen to myself. I'm like, shut up, self.
No, it was very enjoyable. I listened to almost all of it. I have 10 minutes left of Megyn Kelly, and then we watched Rogan together.
That's the best part at the end with Megyn Kelly, where we strongly disagree on Kazakhstan. And she's like, no, Putin, he wants to expand everything. And I'm like, no, I could not disagree more. And then she, at the end, she just pulled the Putin card on me. Well, you know, I did interview him, did meet him. Oh, okay.
Just because, I really like Megyn Kelly, but just because she interviewed him, she doesn't know he's not going to share his strategies with her.
What I should have said was, mind reader, are we, Megan? But I didn't think that was appropriate.
No.
But what I could have said was, well, since you believed all my stories about Tina Turner and Bryan Adams, I guess I'll have to believe your story about Putin. That would have been fair. But of course, I thought about this an hour later.
Yeah.
As always.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed your Joe Rogan interview as well. Very funny. Joe, you let Joe riff there for a while, and he was pretty hilarious.
Joe is so funny.
He seems like a really nice guy.
He is.
Yeah.
He is. And it's no different when we're talking briefly before the show, when we're sitting down together. There's no difference. Mm-hmm. It's exactly the same. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is how many people pop up after you do a Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So many people like, hey, man, I got this cool new crypto coin I'm doing. Yeah. Would you look at my project?
And like, you're not, it's like you're not busy enough now, right? Like, where well, are you finding all the time?
No, these are just things I'm not interested in. But what was cool is the CEO of Swan Bitcoin, which is, you know, like where you can buy Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. He had reached out through Max Kaiser. He said, we saw 10 times the traffic on our site after the Rogan episode, which I guess they correlated it.
Cool.
I guess. And I said, yeah, I really want to talk to you. And so, oh, this is what I, you know, just going back to our wonderful letter there. This is what I want. I want a path. You know, it's like go to swanbitcoin.com/podcast and you put your credit card in or, you know, your bank if you want to. And then pew, you fill up your podcast wallet.
Yeah.
Boom. Right. In one go. Make it easy.
Yeah.
Twitter, by the way, just added Lightning to iOS, I think.
And
So now I'm not Twitter. Cash App.
Right.
So if you have the Cash App, then you can actually fill up your podcasting 2.0 wallet.
You're thinking Twitter because of Jack Dorsey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Twitter had a tipping system they implemented. But yeah, so this is, and it's kind of cool because that's the technology we bet on was Lightning. And that's the one everyone's going with.
Excellent.
It could have easily been something else. Yeah. So.
Well, I've been doing my orange pilling too.
Yes.
Max Kaiser would be proud.
Do tell.
So what we have this young kid that works at the store, and he came by last week before he headed back to college, and we were chatting, and I told him, look, there's one piece of advice I can give you. Start buying Bitcoin. I said, start buying, even if it's $10, just start buying it. You will not be sorry. And I had read somewhere where people who had taken their stimmy checks, mm-hmm. if they would have taken them and invested it in Bitcoin, the return would have been 8 to 10-fold.
Oh yeah.
By now.
Well, that's basically, so. We didn't get a stimmy check, but basically when it was down at 4,000 is when we looked at each other and went, I think we should buy into this thing.
Yeah, for sure.
And so that's been 10-fold. So that's really good. Of course, it's up and down all around, all over the place, but that's really more reflection of the financial world. I think it's coming.
What's coming?
Some kind of controlled meltdown, kind of like 2008, 2009, only worse. Mm-hmm. What these fuckers just did at the IMF? They had a whole like event 201 for a financial meltdown or something where they all practice and, you know, how are we going to talk about it? And
another one like an event 201.
Well, except not for a virus, it's for a financial meltdown.
Oh.
So they did the practice run, you know, with newsreader. I'm still looking for video with newsreaders doing all this stuff. And I tweeted about it because there was something in there. And this was reported by Reuters.
Hmm. Wow.
But there was one line in there. Like, if you ever hear this line, then you better head for the hills. Hold on a second. Let me just get this. It was, of course, I can't find it. Oh, here it is. The quote, and this is from their simulation. So this is a news report that would be coming out if the banking system had melted down because of ransomware or something else.
Okay.
Quote, the banks are appealing for emergency liquidity assistance in a multitude of currencies to put a halt to the chaos, i.e. print some money.
Money printer go burr.
Yeah. Yeah, but that I think that's what else are they going to do, man?
Anyway, so I'm trying to do my part to educate the youth and my sisters.
How do you feel you have a good grasp
no,
on
Bitcoin? No, not at all.
What do you see as
not
the
not at all? I see the decentralized mm-hmm. nature of it, which we talked about when you were talking to Joe Rogan about Bitcoin, mm-hmm. and then he brought up Ethereum, mm-hmm. and when you had said Ethereum has a CEO.
Well, I said Bitcoin has no CEO.
Right. Oh, is that what you said? Bitcoin has no CEO. And that to me, mm-hmm. really struck a chord because right now I don't view CEOs favorably.
Right.
I don't at all. I think that they're just interested in lining their pockets and they don't really care about their consumers or they care about their shareholders in their own pockets. Mm-hmm. And so when I heard that,
yeah,
and it really struck a chord with me and it made me appreciate the decentralized nature of Bitcoin mm-hmm. and that is the coin, not any of these, as you call them, shit coins.
Hey, and we're mining now. We're mining
oh my God.
Bitcoin.
And can I just thank you for getting that damn thing out of our house? So Adam gets this mining computer, and it's not very big. It's probably bigger
like
than a
loaf of bread.
Yes, exactly.
It's not bigger than a bread box.
And so I come home and I hear this brrrr. I'm like, what the hell? And we have a section in our garage. There's a separate closet in our garage, and he was going to put it in there. And he's like, oh, I didn't have my cords. My
Ethernet cables.
If you could see how many wires Adam Curry owns and he doesn't have an Ethernet cable.
Well, like, of the what? Right length, of the right length.
Oh, so this one had to be longer.
Yes,
I see.
Always.
And while that's what she said. And
I wasn't even going to go there. And actually, I have the all that one's over there. If you look at it, they have gold-plated connectors.
He loves his
wife. Yeah, I went all out on these. They're like
we
$8
first started dating. I mean, he had storage bin after storage bin of wires. I'm very proud of you, though. You purged a lot. Anyway,
pretty much.
I just wanted to publicly thank you for getting the thing out of the house because it felt like there was a jet in our house.
Well, and it would vary with speed as the complication got harder. What you said, you tweeted something. Did you reply to my comment with something snarky?
Yes, I just said thank you.
Yeah, well, but this is what I love. I love a lot about you. But I said, baby, it's just going to be here just until Tuesday. And you said, okay. And you really didn't moan about it. And I really appreciate
that. But believe me, if it was still here in the house today,
oh, no,
I got
no.
home from work, I'd be, what the hell? No.
Right after Megyn Kelly, I said, Phoebe, quick, we're walking. I got to go do this mining machine.
I come home and Adam's like, we made $2.50 today. I'm like, woo, can't even buy a Starbucks.
But wait, it's in Bitcoin. So, you know, in 10 years, it could be worth more.
I take my own advice that I gave to Angel at work about buy $10.
It keeps the network secure. It keeps the Bitcoin network out of centralized hands. So, you know, we're contributing to the network.
So we're miners now.
We are.
We're Bitcoin miners.
I'm about to get another one just so we can have his and her mining machines.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as long as it's out of the house.
My miner's name is John Henry.
I saw that.
Yes.
Does
anyone know the legend of John Henry anymore?
Oh, gosh. You want to refresh your memory?
The legend of John. Now, I don't remember it by heart, but it was kind of like this. It was like I thought it was a children's book. And it was this guy, John Henry, and he whacked through tunnels for the railroad. And then one day automation showed up and it was this big, ugly drilling machine. And he was going to fight against the machine. And he just fought, and the drilling machine was doing really well, and he just kept on going, and at the very end, the drilling machine, you know, completely gets stuck, you know, bolts flying off, and John Henry breaks through, gets through the tunnel, and I think he dies of a heart attack.
Was he vaccinated?
Tina! It's horrible.
Interesting. So you named it John Henry. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So you get to name yours.
Okay. All mm-hmm. right. I have to put some.
That is kind of a horrible thing, though. Whenever someone dies these days, certainly.
I take it back.
Well, no, but it's you can't help it. It's the first thing that comes to mind.
Sadly, yes, because Bob Saget just died, which I was shocked by that. And he had just done a show in Florida and they found him in his hotel room in Orlando. And that's the first thing everybody thought. And they started digging it up that he was boosted recently. And it's sad. It's sad that that's where our mind goes.
Christine, I grew up with Bob Saget.
Yeah.
Your girls did too,
house.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Full sure.
House. And then, of course, the America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. We watched it. We all watched it. Everybody watched it for a bit there.
Yeah.
We weren't ashamed.
Yeah. So Adam and I did something fun.
We did?
Right before New Year's, we went
this was great.
Yeah, Mark Hall.
Sir Mark.
Went to the Hilltop Cafe, which is a really popular cafe here in Fredericksburg, and saw that Jimmy Vaughn was actually playing there and invited us. And so we ended up going to the Hilltop Cafe.
On the 30th, right?
On the 30th, the day before. And it's... it's a small venue. I mean, it's a restaurant.
It's a
bar.
Restaurant, yeah.
Probably 50, 60 people. Yep. And we got, Jimmy Vaughn played for an hour and a half straight. Unbelievable. Like, unbelievable. But the thing that struck me.
I know exactly what you're going to say. This was so cool.
Oh, you are?
Go ahead.
Two things.
Okay.
Two things. I felt really protected in there because I knew that there was a number of people in there who probably had.
Well, it's a roadhouse. It's a roadhouse. Yes. It's not really a venue. It's like.
Yeah. It's a restaurant.
It could potentially get rowdy.
Mm-hmm. But I felt very protected in there. Like, mm-hmm. I knew people were had concealed carry and I.
Really?
I just kind of could feel it and I felt safe.
Would there. You have not felt safe if that were somewhere else in a crowd? I mean, it's a relatively small crowd.
I never
crowd.
Really even thought about it. You know, I never really thought about it. But when we were there. That feeling just came over me and people were happy. Everybody
that was the main
was
thing.
Happy.
Yeah.
The energy in the room was just amazing. And I just had a perpetual smile on my face the whole night. It was awesome.
Well, and then, this was actually before Jimmy Vaughn came up, the owner, Johnny, he's playing, I guess he owns the whole place.
Oh,
basically
yeah. just Is his name Johnny.
Yeah. And so, you know, we're ordering and the band is playing and it's loud, you know, but our servers, yeah, everyone's again, the wait staff, everyone's all happy and smiley. And then all of a sudden there's this like wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And then Johnny says, okay, well, here's her name. And she takes off her apron and she gets on, well, there's no stage, but she gets right in the band, picks up her fiddle. Starts playing, starts singing.
And our waitress.
Yeah, like, what? What?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, she's doing a whole thing, and she's singing, and she's doing, I mean, real fiddle, like, you know, country fiddle was fantastic.
Yeah.
And then, all right, you know, everyone applause, and then she came back and asked if we wanted coffee.
Yeah. hello. Look who joined us.
yes. I did get some requests. More Phoebe stories is the request. Since we're talking country, this is sent to us by Ian Johnston, a pal of the pod.
A pal of the pod.
Yes, Ian is. Here's what he wrote for us.
Will Adam's he and Tina's she. Let's have some wine and some charcuterie. They're curry.
Let's have some wine and charcuterie, everybody.
Yeah.
Here in the Texas Hill Country. By the way, I've been corrected by Baron Scott. It is not Texas Hill Country. It is the Texas Hill Country.
Oh.
Yes, I've been corrected on this.
All right. Yeah. Oh, some more Phoebe stories?
Well, I think we should mention that we don't have any recordings of your sisters because I ordered I ordered the extra mic booms and headphones and we got exactly one boom and nothing else. I don't know what happened. I'll just say supply chain issues.
Yes.
So first, having your sisters here, both of them, is one of my favorite times because y'all get so, you're so funny. And you're riffing on each other like only sisters can do. And I'm totally allowed to just sit there as the boy in the room. It's really funny.
Yeah, you're not supposed to say anything.
No. But I mean, and you guys are rude and rank, man. The stuff that comes out of your mouths sometimes.
Our Gary, Indiana. Wait, this dog is ripping up the letter. Hold on.
What?
Oh, no. I don't know what she's doing. Okay. Yeah, that's the Indiana coming out in us. We just, you know what? That was one thing from our childhood. One good thing from our childhood. There was always humor. There was always humor and laughter. And yeah, I just love being around them. But yeah. And it was kind of bummed that we didn't get to record because they have lots of stories. And it's just,
but what I realized is the next time they're both over or either one is over, it's kind of like when they come in, all right, you know, hey, put your suitcase upstairs. Quick, let's sit down now. Because that catch up, that first 2 hours of you guys was crazy.
Yeah.
That's where it's funny. And I bring this up in context of Phoebe because you know, Phoebe is fantastic. The only thing Phoebe is still learning is when is it okay and is the stranger danger not an issue? So we're telling her, you know, we're working with her to understand. Now, this dog needs to make herself known to any stranger. I think almost all Mastiff dogs have to do this. So you can't get past a bark or two. But she was so good. After she nipped at your sister, which granted, I said...
She's like, Tony, you smell like a steak.
No, she didn't. I said... And I blame myself because I said, okay, just, you know, just... She's... But they both know, they both have dogs. They know dogs. I said, but this one, you know, she's excited. So, you know, don't move your arms around. And bless her heart, Bertone went, Phoebe! With her arms up in the air.
And Phoebe went, like, jump.
Well, but.
No, she barked. She didn't.
Yeah, it wasn't really it. Yeah. It was just like, hi,
But after that, it was a big love fest.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a big love fest. They loved her, and she's a good dog.
No, but she's like, I walked her today past the workers next door. I told her they're just doing their job, okay? It's okay. She understands it's okay now. That's for anything that, but you have to, she needs to know that she's on guard.
Yeah.
So
that's her job. She's a working dog.
Yeah, I do let her have that illusion. I give her the illusion she matters. But
she's got a say in all this. Yeah. But really, you're a dog.
Yes.
But anyway, speaking of my sisters, Lisa did, she did send a couple questions. So I want to answer the question.
And okay.
She did say that Whitney, who works with her at the doctor's office, is a big fan of the show. So, hey, Whitney. And Whitney has a question, too. So I will. Oops.
Hold on. We have a caller. Okay, everybody. Hello. You're caller 100. What is this? Is this coming on your phone or my phone?
Yeah, it's coming on my phone.
Who is it?
Oh, it's Teresa. I'll catch up with her. Hi, Teresa. So my sister sends me a question. I think she knows this answer, but I don't know. Maybe she doesn't. She said, I have a question for the show. How did you both know that you were going to spend the rest of your lives together? Was it because you both had awesome families? That was it.
Awesome families?
Yeah, because she's giving herself credit.
Oh.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello.
Wait a minute. I thought this was her co-worker's
question. No, this is Lisa's question. Oh. We haven't the...
Well, it's a shield Whitney's question.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
I didn't know. I really didn't know that, you know, when I first met you, that I didn't know we were going to get married. I had no idea. I had invested in no
outcomes.
That's
not what she said.
No, she said, how did you both know that you were going to spend the rest of your
lives
together?
That's different. That's not the same as getting married. I knew we would be together the rest of our lives.
Oh, you did? When?
Maybe a day or two before I gave you the keys.
Oh, that's right, Adam. You have to tell that story. That's a fun story.
Well, I was living downtown in Austin, and the situation, you know, Tina would drop by. She, of course, had her own apartment, you know, swanky little sexy pad, you know.
Pad.
I said sexy pad, hidden in the hills. And she'd drop by, and she'd have to park in the parking lot across from the building, because to get in is a pain in the ass. Because, you know, you have to have a card, or, you know, it's very hard to do to get another card. I don't remember how it worked.
Well, and then I was schlepping all my stuff.
You were schlepping your stuff back and forth. And then at a certain point, you said, well, you know, you can get tokens or something. I'm like, tokens. What is this token business? And I already had it in my mind. And then we were going in again into the garage. I think you were driving, and you're like, you should get these tokens. I said, well, here, why don't you use this? And I gave you the fob and your own set of keys.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then I knew, this guy means business.
Mm-hmm.
He means business. So
there was no turning back for you at that point.
I guess I would have to say probably when we moved in together that I knew for sure, you know, that I knew for sure that I was committed. And so I was 2 years in. You know, I mean, I obviously was committed to the relationship. But at that point, it's like, yeah, this is a good thing. This feels good. This is right. So,
and buyer's remorse.
And
how are we doing?
I am.
We are.
We've been married for 17
years
now,
so, and they never had a fight. So, how? So far, so good, baby.
Yeah. So, Lisa, I hopefully that answers your question. And then Whitney had a question, because remember she said Lisa told us that her husband is doing a podcast about the Buccaneers.
Oh,
remember?
Right. Yeah.
And how? And she wanted to know how we manage our time. How time is managed with your prep, because I guess her husband works a full-time job and then he's prepping for the podcast, and I don't manage your time at all.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to dissect. Okay. Is this going to be a part of our show? I kind of like this. We'll do advice. Okay, here's what I'm hearing. What's your name? I'm sorry, I forgot her
Whitney.
Name. Hey, Whitney. Here's what I'm hearing.
Hey, Whitney.
You're rather annoyed by the exorbitant amount of time your husband is spending on that damn Buccaneers podcast. That's really what she's saying. Now... I am always, pretty much always, working. So if I have a system, so if there's something I find that I want to put into the show, I have a way of saving it. And the way I do it typically is throughout the in between shows, I'm saving stuff. Even if I have a little idea, I have you see it all the time. I like, hold on a second, and I pop off a note to myself. I'm like, okay, and then I have all that collected. And then for me, it's early on show days typically. Like even for this show, I have all kinds of notes and everything, and it doesn't matter how you do it, and I bring it all together, and then I put it into a document, and then I just look okay, and I'll move stuff around, and that's it. But that comes on show day. That should not be throughout the whole week. In fact, Whitney, you can tell your husband he's probably going to kill all creativity and spontaneity. Here's what you tell. Baby. Yeah. Baby. I love how dedicated you are to this. I'm just a little concerned that you might be overproducing. And there's nothing worse than too much production.
I'm going to use that on you.
Let's have a glass of wine.
I'm going to use that on you. I mean, Adam works. You work all the time. I mean, you're always working. Here's the thing, though. In the morning, do not bombard Adam with questions. He needs his coffee. He needs to wake up.
Yeah.
I pop out of bed. And I'm like, okay, what do I got to do today? Bump, 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 bump. And Adam, nope, nope, nope. Do not do that to him. He does not respond well with that.
But I've gotten incredibly good once you... It goes two ways, Missy. Whatever, you've got triggers, old stuff triggers that when you think you're interrupting me and you think I'm annoyed by it, but I'm not, because there's nothing more important than this. I tell you this all the time. You can stop me. It's not, whatever I'm doing in the morning is not important. It is sometimes difficult for me if you say, okay, so we want to do this dinner on Ben, and then, how about we, now they asked for this, and damn it, it looks like I'm doing laundry every single day.
I've been bitching.
This is a big one. Are you, how can you have 12 pairs of socks in 1 week, Adam Curry? What the heck is going on? Are you taking off your socks during the day and putting on fresh ones? Because it's like I'm doing laundry all day, all week.
Are you making
And that was 7:18 a.m.
It was. It was not that early.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
But I did do laundry.
And then don't say anything to Adam in the morning, except things like, what are you doing? How many pairs of socks are you wearing? Wir haben es gestummt. Die haben zu viel Socken an, ja? Pass in your sock papers.
Well, I must say, I feel like I'm doing laundry all the time. So what I do is I separate our clothes. And guess who has the biggest pile?
It's just the man with the socks.
The man that works from home has the biggest pile.
Okay. All right. Now stop. Because I'm going to tell you what's going on with that. Why is my pile bigger than your pile?
Yeah, why 12 pairs of socks in a 7-day stretch?
This I'm not quite sure what happened there, but...
No, what did you say this morning? Sometimes I step in water and my socks get wet.
It's correct. It happened 2 times this week. I'm very annoyed by myself. Here's what typically happens. You've been working a lot during the week, like more days than typical.
Yes.
So I get up in the morning. I get dressed to take the dog out. And that's typically when I might put on a pair of socks. I know it's crazy. 18 degrees outside, and I put on a t-shirt and a sweater and whatever, and then you go to work. Regardless, before you come home, I always change and make sure I look nice for you. Is that true or not?
That is very true. Hence the double load of Adam's socks in the laundry.
So
see, the truth comes out
now
because I'm like, what the hell? Why are there so much? I feel like I'm doing laundry all the time.
And that's then because I'll take off the t-shirt, and which I've been wearing then for most of the day. I'm like, nah, I got to put it in the hamper. This is not. I'm good for wearing stuff 2-3 times, as you know. I have no problem with that. But I'm just like, nah, this has to go. So that's part of it.
Okay.
So
okay.
I hope you feel really guilty now.
Not
about
at all. Now I understand. Okay, I understand. And I appreciate the...
So the thing that I keep telling Tina is there's certainly some service we can get.
I don't know. I'm really particular about my clothes. Okay. I'm not going to bitch about it anymore. But
no,
anyway,
you can bitch about
now
it.
Now I understand. I understand.
Well, so please... I'm not allowed to wash.
No.
Let's just be clear that this is not, I'm happy to do anything and I'm verboten from the washing.
Okay. Yes,
right?
This is true.
Why?
This is true. Because I'm very particular about what I hang up and
Yeah, but I don't have to hang up. I can do the washing, put stuff in the dryer. I mean, I can do basic operation of machinery.
It just seemed like the laundry was reproducing, and I didn't know why. That's why. And now I understand. Oops. Making a mess.
But this has always been this way.
No. It's different. Mm. But it's okay. Thank you for clarifying. I appreciate it.
That didn't sound passive aggressive at all.
Oh, you know, if that's all we have to worry about, we're doing pretty well.
I'd ride a bicycle with flat tires in the rain to play for Tina.
Oh.
Said Jeff Beck.
Oh.
Of Tina Turner.
Oh.
This is from RTP.
Oh.
Our super fan.
Oh.
He weighs in on the mullet conversation, which we had on the last show as well. And yes, indeed.
Oh.
Yes. You found a mullet photo of me.
It was presented to you. You sent it to me and I promptly tweeted it.
You busted me on it. Yeah, that's for sure.
And then he calls my sister.
Wait, hold on. So this is RTP who sent me the photo. And
who's
this is,
RTP?
Richard.
Okay.
Who sends us the songs he writes.
Okay, okay.
He says, North American fur traders wore long hair in the back to swat flies and mosquitoes out of their face in the North Woods.
Oh.
I'm an amateur fur trade historian. You got a squeeze from Tina Turner, full respect, in spite of your hairdos. P.S. Your headbanger's ball hairdo technically is known as high hair.
Oh.
And not as a mullet.
Mm.
So that solves.
Mm-hmm. So Adam, so I posted the picture and people were weighing in on it and it got quite a bit of traction. And so in order to try and get me back, Adam contacts my sister Lisa for photos of me when I was younger.
Well, no, hold on. I said, I know there's a picture of Tina with a Pat Benatar look. And I said, I need that. And I need to post that in this thread because this is an outrage. She's mulletizing me. This is not okay. Can you fill me up there?
He's got mullet trauma.
I do. I have hair trauma for sure. And the fact that there's photographic evidence of mullet is just bad. Bad. This is pretty good. I like it.
Very good.
It's interesting to have eaten first and now drink the wine.
Oh.
The first three episodes, we drank first before we ate.
Mm. Well, speaking of the whole hair thing, I mean...
you're going to talk about...
Megyn Kelly really focused on your hair today in the episode. She kept commenting on your hair.
That may be a little bit of fangirly, is my hunch.
Yeah.
That she, you know... Yeah. But then again, when pressed on the... On the truth, she said that she was much more of a Madonna holiday type of girl. Holidays! Like Club MTV. All right. Way to go.
Yeah. And then you commented that you still have your hair and that it's all your hair.
What was that? She said, and it's all yours. I'm like, well, what does that mean? Yeah. What am I, Elon Musk? No, I'm not plug boy.
Elon Musk has plugs.
Are you kidding me?
I can't tell.
You should look at, search for a photo right now. Elon Musk. Bald, or, you know, like hair plugs or something. And it's a picture of him in the PayPal days. This is 35 years ago he was going bald. And, excuse me, what is that animal that's on his head? You're telling me that's not hair?
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, by the way, it's sad. It's fucked up. Guys who don't want to lose their hair and then lose it, this sucks. Especially if you don't, if I lost my hair, I'd be devastated.
You don't have the right head.
No, I have a shit head for that.
You got like an egg head.
There's shit coins and then there's my shit head. It's not the right.
Joe Rogan has a good head for being bald. You got to have a good shaped head. You can't have like an oval shaped head.
I know. So this is what, thank you. So I'll be like wearing beanies all day. Maybe I should go for a fedora look. What do you think? I'd have to do something. There's no way
the hill country, you need a cowboy hat.
Cowboy hat. That would do it. Yeah, you're right.
I know
you're just
the person who could hook you up.
Yeah, she makes nice hats.
Yeah, she does.
She does. Damn.
If you're looking for a great hat, I know somebody. So what else, babe? What's on your list?
I don't know. We're going to Nashville
in
February.
Yes.
I'm very excited about that.
Yes, it's a roller skating No Agenda meetup.
It's on Valentine's Day on February 14th.
I don't roller skate, so I won't be on. Oh, I keep hitting that. I'm sorry. I won't be skating, but I will be talking.
No. You'll be interacting with the crowd as always. Yeah. But you don't even want to try and learn a little. I mean, have you never skated before in your life?
No, I came from a poor family. They never bought us roller skates.
Aww.
I know. And now I'm just a little too old. I'll probably break a hip.
My God. Now you just said that. I'm like, I should be careful when I'm out there doing this. I am not. That part of me is like, I still have the willingness because I would do anything for MTV. We're going to go skiing? Okay, skiing. Race car driving? Race car driving.
Yeah, when you're young, it's like you're fearless. You just do whatever.
Drink the cobra blood? No problem.
Yeah.
Then it's like, yeah, but I'll, yeah.
See, and I overcompensated with my kid, my girls, because they took ice skating lessons because I wanted them to experience all of that, you know, and they would rollerblade and ice skate and skateboard and yeah.
That's cool.
So they got the skill set. I'm not going to try it. I will make a fool out of myself, but it'll be fun. It'll be fun to go to Nashville.
Were they any good? Were the girls any good at
that? Yeah. Ellen could spin. She could spin.
You know, my mom was a semi-pro. Right. She was very, very impressive.
Yeah.
When she would do all that stuff. I was like, and she could still do it when she was in her 60s.
Wow.
Yeah. She'd go out there and just do the hardest thing is that where you, the spread eagle, where you lean backwards in the circle and you go around in the circle. Everything's perpendicular. Your blades are pointing outward. The left one points to the left and your right one to the right and they lean back.
Oh.
It's almost like this and they go and they skate around like that. That apparently is one of the hardest things to do.
Really?
I mean, I don't know about the jumps, but my mom would do like a single Lutz.
Yeah. A single Lutz. Not a triple Lutz.
No, I've never seen her do a triple Lutz. No.
An Uno Lutz.
Yeah. And we used to skate all the time, man. Oh. When the canals used to freeze up before climate change.
Hmm.
Yeah, every year we go out.
Did
on
you
the
skate
canal.
Down the canals like Katie Couric said?
Yes. Well, not to work and to school. Oh. No, Katie Couric. Remember that? No, you fool. We'd take the bus or the bike.
Yeah.
It was a good time. That was very enjoyable to grow up in that environment.
Nice.
Just the old school stuff. And they even had ring, they called ringsteke.
So the
ring, it was basically jousting, only so you'd have a lance, and it was made of wood. It was heavy too, and this was like an official thing, and that whole league, and they'd have a wire across the ice, and they'd have rings, different size rings, and you'd skate towards the ring, and then you want to stick that lance in the ring so you can get the ring on your lance. But they got down to the point where they're that small, very hard to do, and these guys took this really seriously, but it was so fun to do. Everyone, little kids would do it, and
nice.
Everyone get into it. Yeah, well, yeah, that's all over. Now the police beat their citizens in Holland with sticks and sick the dogs on them.
I know.
Megyn Kelly was surprised when I talked to her.
I
about
know
that.
She wasn't aware of that. I'm like, hello.
It was kind of sad because she was like, I felt kind of bad about it because I'm sure she wanted just to show this cute video of Holland where.
And you're talking about women getting beat over there.
And I'm like, well, that's a cute propaganda piece, but what's really going on is they're locked down like dogs, you know? And she's like, oh my God, that's a horrible story.
I'm surprised she didn't know that. I'm really surprised.
I'm not.
Oh.
She is missing some programming.
Yeah. But anyway, we're going to Nashville. So it's roller skating, Valentine's Day, no agenda meetup. So, and I think Dame Jennifer might come.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I want to go through our boostergrams. Okay. I think I have them all this time.
Okay.
I'm very, this is all new. This is a podcasting 2.0 only podcast. So those of you who are listening to this just by pressing the little play button on the website, shame on you. Go to newpodcastapps.com. In fact, I'm going to tweet out a link. You when you click on the link for this show on Twitter, it'll open up PodFriend. It's a web podcast player. It's insane. You don't even have to download an app and it works right away. I think Dreb Scott's going to do chapters. Did he already do chapters?
Yeah.
He did chapters, right?
Yeah, he did.
Well, I got to put him in the value block. So the only way we keep the operation running here is through your friendly wine donations, but also we love to receive streaming Satoshis. We're Bitcoin only in that regard. Your boostograms, it's all explained once you get one of those cool new apps, a modern podcast app. So we have a couple of people to thank. And most recently, we have 10,033 sats from Comic Strip Blogger.
Oh.
Greetings from Comic Strip Blogger to Tina and AC. Anybody is welcome to listen to our podcast, AI.cooking. There he is again. About artificial intelligence, which is read by talented guy from Old England, UK. And to drop by to my blog, comicstripblog.com, to see my doodles. You got it, Comic Strip Blogger. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Scott, Waiting for the next episode. Love you. 1,000 sats. We got 500 from Floydian Slips. My first boost goes to you. So welcome to the welcome to the party. See, this was from. There was no name on this one, but this was funny. It was a boost that came through during No Agenda, and of course you can hear that the pew pew sound. You know, whenever the boostagram hits. Mm-hmm. So I was doing the show, and then all of a sudden, And then all of a sudden, in the background, you hear. And people were doing it during the show just to make sure they heard it on the air. So that's what that was. Brian Mossy, 9,000 sats.
Wow.
It might have come from the end of the show, but I'm happy to think that my boost donation might have instigated that overmodulated Tina boost ISO.
You mean like boost?
So good at that. A good one.
Hey. Anything for the team.
1901 from the Mere Mortals podcast.
Oh.
Who says, I got to quiz Adam on this on my show. So the question is for Tina. Mm. Tina, have you ever been to Australia? Thoughts and general opinions.
Oh, no, I have not been to Australia. And actually, it was on our list a couple years ago. We were going to go. And my thoughts and opinions have drastically changed with everything that's happening there. I definitely wanted to go and explore and see it and go to different parts of the country. But now I just think it seems a little frightening to me what they're doing to.
Well, we can't get in.
I know we can't get in, but it just seems frightening.
Unless
they're locking people down.
How's your tennis game? Because if you're a good player, then we can probably get in. Hello. Hello.
I think he's actually playing in the Australian.
Yeah, I love how that works.
Yeah.
And his final question, have you ever seen a drop bear?
A drop bear?
No, this is Australian humor. Australian. Well, drop bear is like this fictional, scary ass, like creature that supposedly it's like a dingo on steroids.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I've been to Australia. I haven't seen one. Thank you very much, though. That's Kyron, no doubt.
Oh.
John Spurt. 4949. He says, I had an Anatolian Shepherd and a few goats. Great guardian and a beautiful specimen. I love that dog, he says. Scott?
Well, we haven't gotten the DNA test back from. We did two of them for Phoebe.
Some people are laughing very loudly about
that. We did the DNA. We want to know what she is.
Didn't someone write us like you went from zero, from hating dogs? Wasn't that Julie? You wrote from zero to zero dogs to, oh my God, DNA test in 2 months' time?
Uh-huh. Yeah. We're completely invested.
Totals. Oh, she's laying right here.
I know.
Let's continue here. Another one, 500 from Scott, wishing us a happy 2020. And that was his first value for value boost. Thank you.
Ooh, thanks.
Then check it out. 50,000 Satoshis from Stephen B., the man behind CurioCaster.
Wow. Thank you, Stephen.
Then he says, enjoy your next bottle of wine, courtesy of CurioCaster, the best podcast player in Texas. Yay. That's right. CurioCaster.com.
Excellent.
5,000 from, let's see, Alex. Oh, that's Alex Gates enjoying the show. I like how laid back it is. Feels inspirational. Alex Gates is we call him the Podcasting 2.0 consultant. Mm-hmm. If he is anything you need to know about any type of programming language, any type of logical programming thing. This is like a $300,000 a year employee if you could hire him.
Wow.
And he's just kicking ass on podcasting 2.0.
That's great. And
really appreciate that, Alex. Here you go. Dame Jennifer, 3333, the magic numbers.
Oh.
She says, IR saunas are the best. Okay, this is about your infrared sauna.
Yes.
I DIY'd one. No, this is something for Adam. Baby, I made you an infrared sauna.
It's some foil.
It consists of 15 Bitcoin miners. Just sit in the middle. Don't worry.
Lovely. Here, put these earplugs in because you'll feel like you're taking off in a jet.
She says, I DIY'd one, but mine includes my face because it's supposedly good for your skin. And being divorced at 48, I need all the help I can get. Oh
Jennifer, please. You look amazing.
The fabulous boyfriend, she says, knows about it, but I have not shown it to him. I think I need more of a commitment before that reveal. I need a picture of this thing.
There's different levels of commitment. I appreciate that.
It's like with boards. hammered onto the side of it. Yeah, I want to see what this thing looks like.
Send us a picture, Dame Jennifer.
She sent us a second boost, and she says that she, too, has also been the voice for past employers on their phone system. Yeah. Yes, you are, of course, the voice of the Touchtone Teller.
Yeah, that's
very, very, very exciting to be with you, darling. Mm-hmm, that's right. I will impress your one for chicken later. User 87059, a whole bunch of numbers there. A nice boostergram there. Boost for drinking on an empty stomach. Okay, thank you. We got another from Dame Jennifer. Here's your cue to boost. You know you want it. Well, I guess we should.
Yeah.
Actually, we should. There we go.
Here's your cue to boost. You know you want to.
Someone sent us 11,111, but no name.
Oh, no. Is that Spencer? That's Spencer, isn't it?
Oh, is that Spencer?
He sent one and he said it got.
Oh, Sir Spencer? I think it sent a bigger one than that. I've never retrieved it. I thought they said like 130,000 sats.
No, Spencer sent 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sats. That's what he did.
Yeah. And where that is, I have no idea.
Oh, it hasn't come through yet?
Well, it should have come through. Well, this is all experimental, so it got lost somewhere in the ether.
I need to talk to somebody. You need to talk to
the pod sage, Dave Jones.
I need to talk to the manager. This is ridiculous.
Old friend Dave Jackson from School of Podcasting. I've known Dave for 15 years. He says, cooking by flashlight. Now I know why she's called the keeper.
Right.
That's right. Brian of London, our knight from Israel, 1948 sats. He says, my wife hasn't let us watch the Sex and the City reboot yet. I think she's worried about being disappointed.
Oh, let me tell you, she will be. We continue to watch it just because I need to see it, but it is getting more and more and more cringy and ridiculous. And I have to be honest, we were talking about this with my sisters about actually seeing these women who have aged, you kind of face your own aging when you see that. And it was the same with the Gilmore Girls when we saw the reboot 10 years later and now Sex and the City 20 years later, and you see how much they've aged. And then you realize that, like I said, you realize you've aged too, and it's just a difficult thing to face.
I understand because I've grown up around women. Just so you know, that most men, or maybe it's the ridicule from other women, I don't know what it is, but men see beautiful women in all ages. I don't think men say, oh, she's old, she's ugly, she's old.
There's a friend of yours that likes young skin who shall remain nameless.
Speaking of Sir Gene, let's see, he sent in a donation, didn't he? First thing Gene said after he met Tina, I said, I like her, man. She's really great. She's got good skin.
I remember asking him like why he liked dating younger women. He said, I like young skin.
That's one guy. That's one guy. One guy. But that still doesn't mean that he... So it's all about dating and mating? Is that what it is? Because ultimately, I don't know. I wish I could reach out to all women and say... Well, okay, stop. Fuck Instagram. You took me through this Instagram.
Right?
Because I love watching the reels for like, I can do a half hour, an hour with you. You usually give up before I do. And it's just funny. People doing funny shit. It's much more entertaining than television. It's what's killing television entertainment. And there's this new filter. And I believe that's a part of Instagram, right? It's not an add-on. It's not something you get.
No, it's part of Instagram.
And it's called the...
Oh, it's all different kinds.
But it has a name.
All different kinds of filters. They have
the catfish filter. It's called the catfish filter.
Well, they have all kinds of like Barbie doll filters.
But this shit is now working in real time in video. I mean, the technology is fantastic. And now women on Instagram are all showing this technology and then switching back and forth and then talking. It's very meta, talking about, you know, how I see this. I see all these beautiful women, but I don't know if they're using the filter. And then I look at my face and I just feel disappointed. And this is toxic shit.
Well, and this is the Adam Curry thought process that has been infiltrated in my brain. Okay. Is oh my God, they're doing facial recognition.
Well, they're
looking at
doubt,
your face and they're storing that data in their big, big, vast database
for
to
you.
Come
that's,
after
that's
you.
That's been done. That's been done.
That's the Adam Curry thinking that has infiltrated my brain.
But this particular filter is just, I mean, there's already so many issues. It's just another part of the beauty industrial complex that is terrorizing and traumatizing women.
Oh, yeah.
I should say birthing people. I don't know what to do about it. And I don't know why. I mean, women should just, how can you support that by being on Instagram?
Well, I don't participate with the filters. I mean, my sisters and I were playing around with it because we were looking at ourselves with beards on and stuff.
Is there anything you want to talk about?
But I mean, I just like it for the stories and I like it for information because I follow a lot of, we talked about this, I like a lot of functional medicine practitioners. I follow a lot of fitness. I follow cooking. I've unfollowed all the celebrities like I had mentioned before. And so, I mean, I didn't even know how to access the filter. I don't even know how to put a freaking link in a picture. I don't care.
Right. No, I understand that. So but the fact that it has that kind of effect on other women, younger women, isn't that something that should be banned from life? I mean, everyone's very concerned with other women, except when it comes to the addictiveness of the Instagram and the filter. I just think it's unhealthy. It's unhealthy.
Yeah. Especially if you're showing yourself in all these filters and you're sending pictures and you start corresponding with somebody and then
catfish.
You show up and they're like, wait a minute, you don't look like that. And it could go
both
ways.
It's the self-worth of young women.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Then I guess maybe that's just prepping people for the metaverse.
I'm just
so
saying
that you can live in the metaverse and not really look like you. You look like somebody else and you take on a completely different life and persona. Maybe that's what they're prepping people for. Because I just noticed all these filters have it's crazy rampant now where I never.
Well, that may also have something to do with the latest phones. They may have more processing capability to do that in real time. It may actually be a function of that.
And I'm sure there are people that just live in a fantasy world.
I can't support this.
I can't support this either. I can't either.
But you do because you use it. I'm not shaming you.
I'm not
you
using
or
it.
No,
I'm,
you use Instagram in general.
It's research, Adam.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'll remember this. All right. Can I just write that down so the next time I can say it's research,
and
baby.
It's functional medicine.
It's just research. Please. You're looking at all kinds of nonsense on
I know,
the
but how many times when we're looking at reels, I'm like, nope, 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 nope. I go past. I'm more interested in dog videos now than anything.
Here's the one I despise. The one that the music starts, you see the photo. It's like someone's dead and they're going to tell you about it in a 5-minute clip. No. No.
I agree. Why do you want to bring yourself down? So
3333 from Chad Farrow, who says, this is such a fun and relaxing show. Welcome, Chad. Then we have a collective 9999, three more from Comic Strip Blogger. This is built up. Yeah, it's from the episode number 2. I talked to him about it. I said, can you just send us one? So I will say once again, AI.cooking. AI.cooking is his artificial intelligence podcast. Almost there. Another 1,000 sats from Dave Jackson. And this is from, because we missed him on the previous episode. Love the origin story. We know the nerd and political sides of Curry. Now we get another view. It's like your Dutch reality show in audio format. Working on a website. See you in 2 weeks.
Cool. Oh.
Dave Jackson?
Dave
Jackson? Really? Wow. You want to get a website, put a podcast, Dave Jackson's our guy. Holy crap. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, I love that.
Aerostatica 2376, great show. And he, of course, Aerostatica, is the man who invented the term boostergram.
Oh.
I'm very proud of that. He's the progenitor of the boostergram. Wait. Boost! There you go. And then finally, Max Byrne, 2,000 sats. More Phoebe stories, he says. Mm. Well, that's actually Sir Scott. There you go. Mm-hmm. We also have a Bitcoin QR code at curryandthekeeper.com. I think no one has used it since the last show.
No.
No. Donations are, I mean, thank God for the wine. But
we're not doing it just for that.
No, of course not. But to see all those little sats come in telling us that someone's listening is really nice. Yes. That's just a beautiful thing to see.
Yes, yes.
Beautiful thing.
Exactly.
What else you got? Did you even have a list for this show?
I did. I went through most of my list. What's on your list?
I think just since we're being totally superficial, one of the best trolls of the week was last night. And this is so odd because, you know, I knew I was going to be talking to Megyn Kelly. I knew she was going to bring up Michael Jackson. There's not much I want to say about it, but okay. So,
people love that story though.
It's a good story. And, then, Tucker Carlson is teasing you, Michael Jackson, after 12 years after his death. And I'm like, what is this bull crap? It's going to be a hologram. And
but the way he set it up, it was, we thought for sure.
It was going to be Michael Jackson impersonator or something.
Somebody.
And then he says, and here he is, Michael Jackson, and switches to Nancy Pelosi. And we lost our shit because holy crap. Now I've been around some body work. This is rust to riches in reverse. You know, they'd throw this car away in the mountains where they rebuild them. This was horrible. Let's just analyze that head, that face for a moment.
Her eyebrows look like the golden arches.
Yeah, totally.
From McDonald's.
It is totally Ronald McDonald. That's right. Yeah.
She had an eyebrow lift and, I mean, she, for all the money that woman has, somebody screwed her over bad because it looks,
you know,
terrible.
When you're 80 and your skin is not young.
Yeah, but
it's hard to get that right at a certain point without just stretching it like a drum.
Her eyebrows are now in the middle of her forehead. But it was the best troll.
It was
so funny.
We were not
expecting that at all. And she just got ripped on Twitter about it.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Pretty, pretty funny. Well, we got a big weekend coming up.
We do?
Yeah, we're going to Dallas.
Oh, crap. That's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is going to be interesting because we're going to be away. We got our dear friend Shayna coming to stay with Phoebe. She'll be fine, I'm sure. But this will be fun because this is the big peppy wedding.
Yes, we have not been away since last April.
Since we went to Mexico.
Mm-hmm. It's been, yeah.
And that was just before we moved?
Yes. Yeah.
About a couple months. I remember we came back from Mexico and we're like, what the hell is this? Why are we still here?
Yeah, so we're heading up. We're driving up north to Dallas, about 4 hours north, going to a big wedding, big black tie wedding. Adam's got to.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do my show from there. Ugh,
oh, yeah. He's got to pack up the studio.
Do
his
my show from
thing
there.
To do. Yeah. Yeah. We'll be hanging out in Dallas for the weekend.
What's the general vibe from your friends? How are they doing? Is everyone okay? Because I'm a little concerned with this, you know, the latest hysteria, which is being jacked up. You know, I all these otherwise rational people flipping out about tests, and now it's going to be N95 masks, otherwise you're going to die.
I haven't heard any of that, but a number of my friends have come down with the COOF. Mm-hmm. And our friends up in Austin, her husband came down with it, saw the doctor, got on ivermectin, felt fine like 2 days later, perfectly fine. She tested negative, fine. My friend in Florida had the COOF. Who else had it? It feels like so many people had it.
I'm just sitting here going like, can I just have it already?
No, because don't say that. What's the matter with you?
We're not going to get it. I'm telling you, this is the zinc. No. I mean, I'm not a doctor.
Yeah.
But the fact that you have not, you are around
people all
nasty people all day long.
And both the owners of the store had it, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
They had it and gave them those little blister packets and
We've pretty much given them all out now. No, we still have some.
No, we have some. She still doesn't have her taste or smell.
Still doesn't?
Mm-mm. She said it's driving her crazy because she's a cook and she can't.
It's like 10 days now that she hasn't had that?
She can taste salt, like extreme salt and extreme sugar. But other
than messing with her, like putting salt in their coffee?
No.
And saying, here you go. Hey.
Yeah. Try this.
How's it taste?
Take
good?
A spoonful of this.
Have you seen that taste test that they do?
No.
And it's like someone who has, you know, has lost their sense because of koofness. And then you see all these jars, one's like, you know, sugar water, salt water,
and then
vinegar,
and
pickle
tasting, like,
juice,
nothing.
Like nothing at all, like gasoline. Nothing, man. I got nothing.
Well, there was one woman at the shop that she did not want to work at the busier store because she was worried. She's jabbed. She's vaccinated. She was worried. So I worked for her. And I'm like, I'm not. And no, I'm around people. I don't worry about it. I don't overuse hand sanitizer. We don't have to wear masks out here. I don't wear a mask. I'm not consumed by it at all. And hopefully that positive mindset is working to my advantage. Cause I don't, and you know what? Not only do I not worry about it, my voice is getting louder where if people push on me, I push back.
Oh, just, do tell.
Well,
do
no, mean? It hasn't happened
and not
yet.
In the store.
No, it hasn't happened in the store, but because interestingly enough, a lot of people are very like-minded, and I don't care what other people do with their lives, and they shouldn't care what I do with mine. So,
well,
but anyway, I haven't heard a lot of freakouts or anything.
Okay. Well, I'm super happy with even though we've been here what, less than 6 months.
6 months.
Over. Oh, it is 6 months.
Yeah.
I love the network that we have. We have good people in our life.
We do.
And that's what's really important for everybody. Also, there's a reason not to shame. You know, people are shaming left and right. You know, maybe a day when something's messed up that is not necessarily related to the virus and you need that person or that person needs you.
Yeah.
You know, people need to.
Yeah.
It's the evil shit that they're doing.
Yeah.
Telling them. Pandemic of the hate your neighbor. Yay. It's a good one.
No, I don't at all. I don't care.
That's what they're trying.
I don't care.
They're trying.
Yeah. No. So what else, babe?
I don't know if we have anything else per se. Well, we've gone through my list. I have Megyn Kelly. I do have the story about your succulent, but I didn't.
Tell the story about the succulent.
Me? It's not my story to tell. I thought that would be a fun one to talk about, but I couldn't work it in anyway.
I can share it if you'd like me
to. Yes, I think this is a very good story. Just so I'm not the only doofus on the show.
So, probably my most embarrassing moment, but funny at the same time. So when I moved to Austin in 2014 and I had my own little apartment, really in a brand new building. And so, you know, I wanted to just make sure it was nice. And so I went to Target and I bought a little succulent plant in a glass container. And diligently, I watered that plant when we were moving.
It looked great, to be honest. It always beautiful. Looked great.
And so I was moving out of that apartment, moving into a new apartment. My daughter, Elise, was helping me move, and she dropped it, and it rolled under the car, and I was really mad at her. I'm like, oh, be careful with my plant. Moved into my apartment, which I affectionately called Hogwarts. That's when we met.
Right.
I lived at Hogwarts. And then I moved into another apartment, and I was hanging the plant up, and I'm looking at this plant that I took care of
her, nurtured
took care of for 3 years, and I'm looking at it, the one that I watered, and I realized it was a plastic succulent. The fucking thing was plastic.
Where did the water go?
I don't know. I watered the thing. And my sisters really think that is the, and my daughters.
No, think pretty that, much everybody thinks that's the funniest story.
I haven't shared that. I did this retreat with David Sutcliffe back in November. And before I had to get up and kind of pour my heart out, I started with that story to make everybody laugh. So they thought it was pretty humorous. So yeah. Yeah. That's my story.
Good story.
Thing was plastic. I had no idea. And I never stopped to think, like, why is this thing not growing?
It's like a bonsai succulent, you know? It just kind of stays in proportion. Because, you know, an actual bonsai is that piece of shit that I call plant that has been with me for 12 years.
Oh, my God. Adam has
this. It's the ugliest thing.
He's got this. He calls it a money tree.
Well, no. It was given to me from my agent.
Hey, Adam, I sent you a guilt tree. It's gonna bring you money, luck.
So, Adam, when Adam did the I Love Laundry tour,
this
is back in 2015. He's like, I'm taking plant. So he sends me a picture. Plants like seatbelts
in the seat.
By the time that plant came back, it had no leaves on it.
It had lost its leaves twice.
It was sticks. It was just money sticks.
Pretty much the analogy for my life at the time, darling. And money sticks. That's pretty. Then I met you and everything changed. Amazing how that goes. Oops, sorry about that. That was a little too enthusiastic. Oh, my goodness. Next time, let's talk about what we're watching, and I don't want to hear what everyone else is watching.
Oh, yeah. Send us emails.
Yeah. Well, that's it, Curry and the Keeper. We're still looking for a website. Some new album art would be appreciated. We don't mind changing it up.
We need some merch.
Hello, No Agenda Shop people. We need some merch. And wine. We need wine. Boost us. Get a new podcast, newpodcastapps.com. Be a part of the revolution. I love you.
I love you too.
The Curry and the Keeper.
Boost.